there's been quite a movement, an anti-ESG movement, and largely in the States, we've seen a lot of corporates like Lowe's, Walmart, others pull back on their DEI policies and commitments. And again, I think that's reflective of the swing back to the right in America.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Rosemary Petrus, Senior Journalist at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to traditional custodians of country and elders past, present and emerging. Sustainable investing is experiencing a rise in anti-ESG sentiment, both abroad and at home, with a change in leadership in the US this week heralding the next stage of ESG politicization and anti-climate sentiments overseas. Media reports here in Australia predict that we could soon see the same on home soil, depending on the outcome of the federal election to be held on or before the 17th of May, 2025. Here to discuss is Morningstar Sustainalytics Executive Michelle Cameron. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Rosemary. Delighted to be here.
So, Michelle, Meta's decision to swap fact-checking for user-generated community labelling has created quite a stir for responsible investors, and we are going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But to start off with, let's set the scene. In light of Trump's inauguration this week, what can ESG investors expect under his administration?
So, what a good place to start. So a bit of a back to the future moment for investors. Very pertinent timing to have the discussion with the inauguration happening at the moment. And it's going to be really interesting to see how things unfold and if they do in a similar way to how they did during his first term. But certainly Trump's rhetoric throughout his campaign this time around has been very direct. His intentions are to roll back on some of the environmental regulatory progress and the global commitments that have been made. And we know that he's always going to prioritize domestic economic growth over environmental or social progress. So that likely repeat withdrawal from Paris is going to put climate goals even further out of reach. This government will spend the next 4 years unwinding some of the progress that has been made, and that takes us up to 2029. And even then, if the government changes to a more sustainably conscious or progressive government, there'll be a period of rebuilding required. So that obviously is a kind of a macro concern. Throughout his campaign, he specifically called out increasing his investment in oil, or what he calls liquid gold. We know it's very likely that he's going to quickly reduce or remove some of the subsidies that have been made available via the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, as well as likely probably curtailing some of those progress that's been made under the SEC's rules around, you know, moving from a more transparent to a more mandated reporting regime. And some of that litigation activity will probably subside as well. In practice, what do we think that means for investors? So my colleagues in the Morningstar team have continued to monitor this and expect that those outflows in American-based sustainable funds will continue to accelerate and that market's going to remain subdued. For the first time in 2024, we saw the number of funds that closed or that dropped their ESG mandates exceeded the number of new fund launches. So there was only 10 sustainable funds that came to market in 24. We had over 70 that were either merged or liquidated, and 24 that dropped their ESG focused mandates. So obviously, this has led to quite the contraction in the US sustainable funds markets. But putting that into context, despite those outflows, we do still see that assets in sustainable funds continues to grow, which is probably quite representative of the market price appreciation. So I think that influence of the incoming administration is really shaping some of those market shifts. We've had some recent news. So last week we saw that the Net Zero Asset Manager Program was going through a review. BlackRock have exited it after others have also, and that alliance have explicitly stated that that review was triggered by the developments in the States. And there are many examples of companies withdrawing from SBTI and targets being revisited. But I think from an Australian investor perspective, we have seen kind of patterns, but not quite such a steep impact. So we are seeing improving fund flows quarter on quarter. And we are seeing that perhaps some of that capital is going to be moved into overseas funds. So that could be positive for us. And we also have the added advantage here that the majority of professionally managed funds have very public commitments around investing responsibly. So that's going to help drive momentum. The only other thing I wanted to mention on this topic quickly is the incoming presidency and the focus that they've placed around tariffs and the impact that this will have as well. So of course, this is going to have supply chain impact around the transition efforts, as well as the kind of global movement of items that are required for the transition. So things like solar panels, EVs. So we could see a slowdown in progress there. But also, I think more systemically from a labor and a human rights perspective, the incoming tariffs are likely going to create some economic instability in some low income nations. That's going to put workers at risk of more exploitative conditions, and there'll be a shift in some of those supply chains to countries that that likely have weaker human rights protections. So I think from a human rights and a social labour perspective, I think it could be meaningful. And clearly from an environmental progressive perspective, it's also going to have an impact. But I am the optimist. And in this context, they are only one country, albeit quite a loud, influential one. But we've seen some really positive momentum in other jurisdictions, more frameworks coming into play in Europe, across Asia. Here in Australia, we've got the ASRS coming into play. So those multinational companies are still going to need to adhere to standards to maintain access to those global markets. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch this unfold over the coming months and years.
Here in Australia, there have been media reports that the opposition will crack down against ESG, specifically in the banking sector, if elected. How is this likely to affect investors?
So yes, they have. And following on from the previous conversation, we are staring down the barrel of the real possibility of changes later this year or in Q2 this year, which could impact the progress that's been made under the current government here on home soil. So certainly the language we're hearing from the opposition is concerningly familiar. We're seeing it being used as a political lever by the opposition campaign, specifically in relation to the recent introduction of the CRFD disclosures. And from a banks and the broader kind of investment community perspective, I'm sure they're all watching this incredibly closely. So what they will be looking at is whether they're going to face a bit more of an uncertain regulatory landscape, which could disrupt their strategies. So in those situations, it would mean that they would have to look at scaling back on some of their capital allocation into climate-aligned financing. So real-life examples would be things like financing renewable energy projects or net-zero-aligned investments. But we aren't America. Our political system is not the same. The progress made is also different. And so for any investors, any rollback would obviously result in concerns around some of that transparency. But we are making really strong progress here in understanding risk profiles of our investments. ASIC and the regulator has been really clear, and we've started seeing some of that litigation activity during 2024. So I think the confidence in kind of investing in that space is still there. So I would hope that we've progressed enough with mandating reporting, embedding those responsible investment practices, that unwinding this would be difficult and troublesome. And we are continuing to see that year-on-year growth in responsible investor volumes and associated AUM. So we've got a very motivated, purpose-driven, responsible investment community here that are determined to continue making progress. So whilst it may be a bit of a speed bump, I don't think it's going to dramatically stall efforts of work underway.
With this heavy politicization of ESG, there has also been a pushback against specifically diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. What does this mean for responsible investors?
Yeah, so this is an interesting area. As you've mentioned, there's been quite a movement, an anti-ESG movement, and largely in the States, we've seen a lot of corporates like Lowe's, Walmart, others pull back on their DEI policies and commitments. And again, I think that's reflective of the swing back to the right in America. Globally, we saw a really big shift in the early 2020s towards companies really focusing and building their diversity, equity, inclusion policies and implementing targets and metrics. And from an investment perspective, we saw a lot of new DEI investment products being launched that at the time did really outperform the market. From a data availability perspective, measuring things like, you know, women on the board, diversity in employee backgrounds, different representations, so all examples of collecting and measuring data to reflect that investor sentiment. But we have seen that performance shift. And now with some of those kind of US companies publicly moving away, I expect it's obviously going to continue to impact some fund inflows and performance. Closer to home, we saw over the weekend in the AFR even that only 4 out of the top ASX 20 had publicly expressed their commitment to their DEI targets. But I think in context, that's not necessarily indicative of a pullback. But we have heard of a number of sources talking about things like a bit of a rebrand. But we have seen here that the responsible investment community is really leading the charge. So last year, there was a group of asset owners who have very publicly supported a voluntary DEI code. And some of our largest super funds have been really backing this and helping launch it locally. We also saw, interestingly, from a corporate perspective, that McDonald's in America publicly stated they'd be moving away from some of the targets that were communicated in 2021. But encouragingly, McDonald's in Australia have distanced themselves from that announcement, saying they've got no intention to follow suit. But I think with anything related to diversity, equity, inclusion, we need to keep in mind that this is not just about fund performance or compliance or aligning to kind of political pressure. It's about building more inclusive, innovative, resilient workforces and sustainable economies. So we're continuing to see some positive momentum. And as a responsible investor, I'd hope that the groundwork that has been done has generated some kind of fundamental shifts in company behavior.
Social media giant Meta recently announced it will end fact-checking on its platform. How should responsible investors approach this?
So this is it's such an interesting time to be in the responsible investment landscape. So yes, Meta has announced that they're stepping away from professional fact-checking and they're moving towards this new community-driven moderation model. So very similar to how X does this. And we are all familiar with how trustworthy that is as a reputable source of information. So obviously a very politically motivated move aligned to the incoming administration, but it does raise some significant ethical concerns, which as a responsible investor, I think it's very important to be considering. So we talk a lot about transparency, the importance of accurate information for well-functioning markets and society as a whole. So for an investor, the broader ethical implications of the spread of unchecked information could pose some serious issues and risks, not just reputationally for business and individuals, but much broader kind of societal impacts. I think we saw this over recent years with the spread of misinformation about vaccines and treatments during COVID. And that had real world consequences, not just for public health, but for companies in the healthcare sector, for governments and financial markets. So I think for a responsible investor, it's our responsibility to scrutinize Meta's governance practices, understand their approach to managing these risks. And at Morningstar Sustainalytics, we've assessed Meta as being high risk on our ESG issues ranking. So we've given it a 4 out of 5 on our risk scale, with 5 being the most severe. And the issues that we've identified as being most material and most serious relate to things like, you know, business ethics, product governance, human capital management, data privacy. So they top their peer group in terms of risk for companies within their industry. But I think we also acknowledge and appreciate that it's a real dilemma for investors from a returns perspective, because Meta, they surged in 2024 in value over 70%. So historically, tech stocks have been quite an attractive investment option to include within sustainable funds. They tend to have very strong growth performance. They have capital investment and impetus to be innovative, and generally have relatively low carbon footprints due to the nature of their operations. So we can see why this is a really difficult challenge to navigate. However, I think the key message here is, as a responsible investor, we have to go back to our core principles of what is the mandate of your fund, what is your investment strategy, and really think through whether the policy changes that are being proposed, such as this, continue to align with your long-term sustainable investment objectives.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can listeners find out more about your work?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. So you're welcome to reach out to me directly via LinkedIn or at michelle.cameron@morningstar.com or also through our Morningstar Sustainalytics website.
Until next time then, I'm Rosemary Petrus, and thank you for listening to The Green Away.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability, a show about people, the planet, and investing in our collective future. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The Green Away podcast gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by discussing numerous financial sustainable options and our featured guests. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of The Greener Way are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.